desired to be with us this morning, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to give our praise and worship to God as a congregation. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along. And I know if you're visiting with us today and you already see 10 points or a page full of scriptures, you're wondering if we'll be out of here by supper time. And we will. Titled the lesson, When God Forgives. When God Forgives. By way of introduction, all of us stand in need of forgiveness. It's a biblical message. Paul said in Romans 3, verse 10, as it's written, there's none righteous. Nope. Not one. Not one. He continued that thought in verse 23 of the same chapter. For all have sinned, everybody, and come short, we've missed the mark, of God's glory. By way of application, or to make it personal, none of us can stand before God and say, God, I know you're pleased with everything that I've said and done. You can't do that. And knowing that, even this morning, I noticed when the prayer was said, at the very end, it was, forgive us of our sins. And we say that pretty much all of us at the end of our prayers, after we've maybe given our praise and thanks to God and put in our request, forgive me of my sins. We know that we make those mistakes, those flaws, those transgressions. So we stand in need of God's forgiveness. When the Bible introduces Jesus, he's introduced in Scripture as one who would save us from our sins or the consequences of our sins. The things that sin would lead to, or what will happen to us because of our sins. In Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, and she, meaning Mary, would bring forth a son. The text continues by saying, you'll call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. That's what I want. I need salvation or forgiveness from my sins. So Jesus, during his ministry in that one place, I just put in your note in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me. Come to me. Learn of me. You're heavy laden. Says you're laboring. I'll give you rest. Forgiveness, redemption, and a lot of other Bible words. So we want to do that by way of introduction. We're going to ask a question and answer it in our lesson this morning. What happens to our sins when we bring them to God? God, what are you going to do with my sins when I bring them to you? If I bring my sins to one another, you might say, okay, I'll forgive, or I'll help you with that, I'll repeat it. You know, I'm not sure. Sometimes what's going to happen to my sins if we bring them to one another? We're supposed to confess our faults one to another, forgiving one another, but I've given you 10, at least 10, biblical illustrations of what God does with our sins when we bring them to Him. His way. Number one, the Bible uses the word forgiven. Old and New Testament. But in Psalm 32, verse 1, the psalmist said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. If something's forgiven, definition, just simply means to send forth or to send away. So God, what do you do with my sins when I bring them to you? Said, Brian, I'm going to send them away. That's what I want. You're not going to keep them? Hold them against me? No. I'm going to send them away. To forgive means to remove the punishment that's due because of sinful action. You're not going to punish me? No, not when you bring your sins to me. It means to release from penalty. When God forgives, He says, those sins are gone. In Psalm 103, verse 2, and I didn't put this one in your notes, but Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. That's what I want. God is a God who forgives. So God, what are you going to do with my sins when I bring them to you? I'm going to send them away. They're gone. Second, the illustration is that God covers them up. The same verse, and it continues, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We know what covered means. If you cover something up, it means it's hidden. If it's covered, it's buried. Another definition of covering something up, it means to completely overlay. Another definition included, the dictionary definition said, to blindfold and not see. Oh. So God, what do you do with my sin? Right, I'm going to cover them up. I'm not going to see them. In Psalm 85, verse 2, the psalmist says, thou hast forgiven, uses both of our words, forgiven the iniquity of thy people, covered all their sins. Covered. Not the way children say when I say to my grandkids, cover your eyes. They might do like this. they look between their fingers or between this way. No, when God covers our sins, no, the idea is if you ask someone to cover their eyes, you want them to cover, meaning so they cannot see. And that's what God does with our sins. Does not see them. Our sins are covered when we bring our sins to God, God's way. Number three, Psalm 25, verse 11. Says, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. Even though our sins might be tremendous, too many, too horrible, great, as the psalmist says. He's asking for pardon. Means, again, that's the idea of cover or forgiveness, release from penalty. If something is pardoned or someone is pardoned, it means the offender is excused without exacting a penalty. It means guilty is charged, but when I bring my sins to God his way and he pardons them, I don't have to pay the debt that's owed. In Micah, the Old Testament prophet, put that in your notes either. But Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee, Micah asked, that pardons iniquity? That's right. Who is a God like that? Pardons iniquity. When we offend someone, we're pretty quick to say, and rightly so, oh, pardon me. We say, excuse me. And what we mean when we say that to someone else, we're saying, please don't exact revenge on me. Pardon me. Excuse me. In other words, we're saying, don't get even. Don't do back to me what I just did to you. Pardon me, please. Let me go. Don't hold the infraction against me. If I'm crossing an aisle here and I step on Rick's toes over here, I'm going to be quick to say, pardon me. Meaning, Rick, don't do the same to me. And I know, Rick, you will step on my toes a little bit harder. But when I do something to someone else, I say, pardon me. In other words, release me from the penalty. Don't do to me what I just did to you. Pardon me. Excuse me, please. So when I come to God, his way, and bring my sins to him, say, God, pardon me. And he does. That's what he does with our sins. Number four, in Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed all our transgressions from us. He's removed our transgressions. Means it's gone. You remove something, it's not here anymore. When you remove something, it's taken out of the way. So when you bring your sins, and I bring my sins to God, and God, the Bible illustrates it, removes them. They're gone. They're taken out of the way. They're not here anymore. And so Psalm of David gives us a visual of distance in God's removal. God, how far have you removed my sins? What distance have you taken them away? And he says, as far as the east is from the west. Why didn't he say as far as the north is from the south? Because you can go so far north, and then you're going to start going south. See, in the earth, it has a north pole and a south pole. If you start walking north, if you go in a straight line and walk north, as soon as you get to the north pole, you take one more step, you're going south. At the north pole, no matter which way you turn, take any step in any direction, you're going south. You see, north meets south. The south meets north at the poles. It's a distance of 12,403 miles, in case you wanted to know. So if the psalmist had used the illustration, Brian, I'm going to remove your sins as far as the north is from the south, I'm just going to take them away 12,403 miles. But he said, no, I'm going as far as the east is from the west. So now pretend that you're down at the equator, and you start walking east. And you circumnavigate the globe. You come back even that starting point, and you still take one more step, you're still going east. And you going east will never meet west, no matter how many times you walk around that globe. You see, east never meets west. You may meet someone walking west, but east never meets it and stops right there. They're walking west, and they'll keep going, and you're going to keep going the same way. East never meets west. Meaning, the psalmist says, God, what are you going to do with my sins? I'm going to remove them as far as the east is from the west. They will never be seen again. When they're forgiven, they're pardoned, they're covered, they're removed. Number five. Job in Job 14, verse 17. Job said, my transgression is sealed up in a bag. And you cover, or some of the translation says, sew up my iniquity. So this, when we bring our sins to God, and the illustration now is he put them in a bag. And that bag is sealed. Sewed, or covered by God. As far as I can tell, that's better than any new and improved double lock, ziplock baggie. And God seals it, sews it, it's not getting out. I put stuff in a baggie and dropped it and it bursts. That's not going to happen with the bag that God uses. The illustration is, God, what are you going to do with my sin? I'm going to seal it in a bag. Seal it up. Number six. In Isaiah 38, verse 17. Isaiah said, you've lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. You cast all my sins behind your back. Oh, another illustration. God, what do you do with my sins? You ever hear the phrase, out of sight, out of mind? God said, I'm going to put your sins behind my back. So if I could talk with God or approach God and say, God, what did you do with my sins? Say, what sins? I don't see any sins. Sometimes when we're visiting our grandson, I'll tell you about my grandson. But our grandson, and I may take one of their books, and I'll put it behind my back, and I'll say, come here, boy, where's your book? And they're just 5 or 6 years old, and they'll point, and they'll say, there it is, Papa, right behind you. So I'll turn like this and I'll say, where? They'll say, there, behind you. No matter where I turn, as long as that book's behind my back, I don't see it. They may see it. same way when I bring my sins to God. I may still think and remember my sins or see my sins or the consequences of them, but God doesn't. God puts our sins behind his back, and no matter where he turns or when he turns, God doesn't see because the sins are behind his back. That's his illustration. Number 7. You thought I couldn't get through 10 points? Number 7. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, and he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake, blots them out. You blot out something. It means to rub or wipe off the writing. It means to erase. But included in that, it means it's gone without a trace. Because I know you're probably thinking, well, blot out. When I erase something off the paper, I still see the indentation. But that's not included in the definition that God is using, or that the Bible is using here. When it uses that phrase, blot out, it's gone without a trace. It means that God no longer keeps a record of remembrance of our transgressions. In Psalm 51, after David is confessing his sin, in verse 9 of Psalm 51, in David's prayer of repentance, he says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out my transgressions. Remove them without a trace, he's asking. In Acts 3, verse 19, Peter says, repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that they may be gone without a trace, along with these other illustrations. Number 8, Isaiah 43, verse 25, I will not remember thy sins. Continuation of the verse in Isaiah 43, verse 25. Tonight, as he blot them out, I'm not going to remember them. It's not that God has a bad memory. Rather, when God forgives, he chooses to forget. God has that ability. I don't always have that ability. Now, sometimes I still remember my transgressions, shortcomings, faults, misgivings. Sometimes I might forget them. Christine reminds me. But when God forgives, he forgets. And just kind of a side lesson on this one. When you've asked God to forgive you of your sin, he has fulfilled his promise, his obligation of forgiveness. Because we sometimes still remember, we're still asking God over and over again, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You don't need to do that. When God forgives, he forgets. I will not remember thy sin. Sometimes when you pray and you're still asking forgiveness for that same sin, I can just in my mind hear God say, no, Brian, I distinctly remember forgetting that sin. Why are you bringing that up to me again? I know you can't forget, but I've forgotten. I distinctly remember forgetting. Don't have to ask forgiveness once from God. One time. That's his promise. When we bring our sins to it. Number 9. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Micah, and I'll read the whole verse for you. Micah says, who is a God like unto you, who pardons iniquity, and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of your heritage? You retain not your anger forever. You delight in mercy. You will turn again and have compassion on us, and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Another illustration. God, what do you do with my sins? He says, Brian, I'm going to cast them into the depths of the sea. That's a good place to hide our sins. 2/3 of the earth is covered by water. And some of the deepest places on earth are found under the sea. See, when the Bible illustration of an answer to the question, God, what do you do with my sins? God doesn't say, well, I'm going to put your sins out to sea where they may be washed back to shore. No, it doesn't do that. Doesn't say, Brian, I'm going to throw your sins out to sea, however in low tide they may be exposed again. No. It says, I'm going to cast your sins into the depths of the sea. So if you've been in the Navy, I know if I've used this illustration before, Orby will know this. The deepest place in the sea is in the Pacific Ocean. It's east of the Mariana Islands. It's called the Mariana Trench, otherwise also known as the Challenger Deep. That trench is not just in that little deepest spot in the Pacific Ocean, in all the sea, it's not just a post hole. Not just a single spot. The Mariana Trench is 1,580 miles long. It's 43 miles wide, running north and south. The deepest part is 6.83 miles deep. That's almost 35,000 feet. The Mariana Trench is deeper than Mount Everest is tall. Mount Everest is 29,026 feet tall. The Mariana Trench is 35,000 or approximately feet deep. The water pressure at that depth is more than 1,000 times the pressure at sea level. Those sins are not going to pop back up.
Amen.
They won't do it. God has taken care of that. He says, Brian, when you bring your sins to me, I will cast them into the deepest parts of the sea. The last illustration that I'm giving to you, you know, number 10 is Matthew 26, verse 27, was referenced in our prior to our taking the Lord's Supper this morning. In Matthew 26, beginning of verse 27, Jesus is meeting with his disciples. And after partaking of the Passover, he institutes his own supper. And the part that's important, or at least I'm going to have reference to, it says, then he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, and he said, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. If you remit something, or something is in remission, it means it's been dismissed. It's a passing by. It's over. It means something has been released. Another translation is forgiveness. And that's the same word that Peter used in our scripture reading that was given this morning. Was that celebration of the day of Pentecost after the ascension of Jesus? And Peter, standing up with 11, preaches to these devout Jews that have gathered together from every nation. He has convinced them in his sermon that they've crucified the Christ, they've murdered the Messiah. And he reached that point in his lesson where he said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. It says when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. In other words, they were convinced of that very thing. In a visual, I just picture them throwing their hands up and saying, what shall we do? Is there any possible response that we need to make? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the purpose of remission of sins, that forgiveness of sins, because the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayer. At the close of every lesson, we extend that same invitation. For you who have heard the good news that God so loved the world, and he sends his Son. And then second, you believe that message that you just heard. And then number three, you're willing to repent of your sins, as Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3. And then after that, you're willing to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son, as the Ethiopian said to Philip in Acts chapter 8. And when the Ethiopian made that confession, Philip stopped the chariot. It's number 5. Philip takes the Ethiopian down into the water and he baptizes him. Philip and the Ethiopian come up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. So when you bring your sins to God, there's a plan, a formula, or a step. Did you hear God's message, or you wouldn't? How can you believe in something you haven't heard? Paul said in Romans chapter 10. So when you hear, believe the biblical message. Believe God's promise of what He will do with your sins. Then turn your life around. Number 3, the Bible calls it repentance. Confess your faith, and then be baptized for remission of sins. We sing at the close of a lesson a song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to that. If that's your resolve to become a Christian, to be baptized for remission of sins, we can answer it right now. To request be known. So while we're singing this song, if that's your resolve, if that's your desire, just come and have a seat beside me. At the close of the song, I'll simply ask you a question. What's on your mind? And your response will be, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. And we'll do it. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If you really respond, if that's your desire in a public way, please do so while we're singing this song.